2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Brother Mike took Corinthians and gave you an expository lesson. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to give you an expository lesson. I'm going to give you a topical. Look at verse 15. I think it's one of the most tremendous thoughts, verses, anywhere in the New Testament, anywhere in the Bible. Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift of His Son. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Lord, you know we are needy creatures. We need your Holy Spirit to bless us and touch us. We need your Holy Spirit to convict of sin. We need your Holy Spirit to comfort us and guide us. And I pray you'd take your word, give us understanding. Let me preach it with freedom and ease. We'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Nobody's going to get saved because they kept the law.
That's right. Amen.
Nobody's going to get saved because they were a member of a church or a Sunday school or they lived a better life than somebody else down the road.
That's right. Amen.
Nobody's going to get saved on their own merits because no one is going to be able to brag in heaven. And if you were a little better than somebody else, and that's why God chose you, then you'll be bragging up there in heaven, and nobody's going to be bragging.
That's right.
It's just not going to happen because it's a gift. It's a gift. You know, songwriters, poets, prophets, preachers, all sorts of people have tried to describe Jesus Christ and His salvation. And you know, so how beautiful they are, they all come up short.
That's right.
It's sort of like I have these discs now called Stargaze, and it's pictures on a CD from the Hubble telescope. They're just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
The colors that are out there, the beauty that's out there, the vastness of the whole thing. And how out there, just like, looks like a hurricane of stars. It's like a hurricane coming around on the earth. And you've got these millions of stars in a circular galaxy that just spreads out.
Yeah.
And then you go down to a little bitty amoeba that you can't see that's in the water you drink probably. And there's a world inside of that amoeba.
That's right.
God's too big.
Yeah, that's right.
To fit into your mind. God's a whole lot bigger than the biggest understanding around. And I want you to know when He developed His plan of salvation, His way to save us, it was by gift.
Yeah, that's right.
Now the law is there to bring you into the knowledge of sin, show you the will of God.
Yes.
And every time I read the law, it convicts me. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But it does me. I think, well, I don't do that well enough. I don't do that well enough. Well, look, I'm guilty of that. Every time I read the law, I've got to repent.
Yeah. Amen.
I've spent 53 years repenting.
Yeah. Amen.
But that's the only way I keep going.
Amen.
I keep going by repenting.
Yes.
And asking for forgiveness. The gift of God.
Amen.
The gift of God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable. The reason why it says unspeakable is you can't describe it.
That's right.
With all of your wisdom and all your study even of the Word of God, you're going to come up short.
That's right.
People trying to describe God. Some people by the word Trinity. It's not in the Bible.
That's right.
But it's their best explanation of the three persons of the Godhead. I actually think there's only one person in three manifestations. But I've never known anybody, and I've read the best. I've read them. See, if somebody could come up with the real explanation that would fit everywhere, nobody's got it. Not the best preachers in the world.
That's right.
God is a mystery still. Even though He's revealed Himself, we know what He's revealed about Himself, but it really, really doesn't do for me. I don't understand all this stuff out here. But I know one thing. I'm thankful. Amen. I'm thankful for the unspeakable gift of God. Look at Romans 6:23. Talking about gift again. One of those tremendous verses that we use all the time, used by most soul winners, used by most preachers over and over and over again. Why? Because it's so descriptive and it's so clear.
That's right.
It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen.
Notice the difference between wages and gift. You know the difference between wages and a gift? Boy, you demand your wages. If I cut your lawn and you promised me $2, and I didn't get that very often. Back in my lawn cutting days, it was $1. And with a hand mower and a hatchet to cover the sidewalks. It was all handwork and it was $1. I had one lady, she had me mowing this way and then turn around and mow it again that way. And I got $2 for that one. Felt rich. I know the difference between a gift and wages.
Yes. Amen.
Wages is what you're owed.
Yes.
God doesn't owe you anything.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care if you gave all your money to missions. God wouldn't owe you anything.
That's right. That's true.
In fact, in everything we have, what do we have we were not given?
That's right.
He said, "Well, I'm an American. I'm a Texaner. I got here as soon as I could." You know how you were born in Texas? By the will of God.
That's right.
You didn't have a thing to do with it.
Amen.
You got nothing to brag about. God in His mercy let you be born in this free land.
Yeah,
I was born to Christian parents. They weren't very regular Christians to a church, but they believed the Bible and they had the Bible in the house and they wanted me to believe it and go to church and put me in Sunday school and whatever. What can I brag on? I didn't choose my parents.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the will of God.
Amen.
That's the mercy of God.
Yes.
You know, I like that statement. It says, if you can read, thank a teacher. If you're reading in English, thank a soldier. Because
yeah.
You could be reading in German.
That's right.
Or Chinese or Russian.
Amen.
What did you have to do with all the freedom that you enjoy today? What did you have to do with all of the riches that you enjoy today? The comfort that you enjoy today? Just turn on the news, people.
That's right.
Turn on the news. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right.
We ought to be thanking God. Why? Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Wages of sin, I deserve them. And tell you something else, friend. You do too.
That's right.
You may be the sweetest little girl in this room right here, but you are a sinner in need of a Savior before
Amen.
God Almighty. You might be the sweetest grandmother sitting in here. You just love your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren if you got them. And you may just think they're all little angels. You're really deceived.
Yeah.
They're not little angels. They're little devils. Till they get saved.
Yeah.
But notice again how he said it here. The wages of sin is death. You understand what wages are? You understand what sin is? And the gift of God, the difference between wages and gift is a vast difference.
Yes.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the very first verse was talking about Christ and the gift of Him. The second verse here is talking about eternal life, Christ's life in you. It's a gift too.
Yes, amen.
And then go to John 3:16. Mike quoted it. And we quote it many times, such a tremendous verse. Look for a minute back to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God so loved that he gave.
Yes, amen.
It's a gift.
Yes.
God loved you enough to give you eternal life. God loved you enough to wipe out your sin debt.
Thank you, Lord.
In the blood of Christ.
Amen.
God loved you so much, you heard the gospel. I heard it hundreds of times before I got saved. God so loved you that he knocked on your door one day, one night. He did mine. You've heard my story many, many times. He knocked on my door one night. And all of a sudden changed my life.
Yes.
I don't have anything to brag about.
Amen.
I just have something to be thankful about.
Yes. Yes.
Every time I look at this, I come up with thanksgiving.
Yes.
I really believe that Christians ought to be thanksgiving people.
Yes.
And I believe you murmurers and complainers have got it wrong.
Yes.
I don't care what you're murmuring and complaining about. You got the wrong attitude. You ought to be thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right.
In every part of your life. Giving thanks. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The unspeakable gift is Jesus, and the unspeakable gift is eternal life. And it includes forgiveness of your sin and being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. What a gift.
Amen.
What a gift. He gave me that gift 53 years ago, and it just gets better.
Amen.
I'm not getting better. I'm getting old and wore out. But my gift is getting better.
Amen.
And I'm rejoicing the closer I get to that casket out there somewhere, the closer I get to it, the more thankful I am that I have my gift.
Amen.
I'm going to one day, just maybe today, just all of a sudden step out of this body into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. I had a friend, some people attacked him in Europe on a bridge. And he reasoned with them, with the gospel, and he said, "Do you realize you're threatening me with heaven?"
Yeah.
Big deal. You're going to kill me? You're threatening me with heaven.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it. Now we're all worried. We all want to stay alive. There's probably a bunch of concealed gun hand holders in this room right now. Don't stand up and try to rob this church. In fact, if somebody does, everybody else duck. Because they aren't all that good a shot. The unspeakable gift. What a tremendous thing. It's unspeakable. Because all the things that can be said about it, all the songs that are written and sung, all of the philosophy that's been studied, and all of the preaching of the most sincere preachers in the world cannot really fully describe it. It's unspeakable.
Amen.
You know, when I thought about an unspeakable gift, I also thought about an unpardonable sin.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't hear much, and maybe some of you other preachers do, I don't know. When I was a young preacher, I think it just come up very often. I think I've committed the unpardonable sin and I can't be saved. Well, that's another thing I've studied a whole lot about. The unpardonable sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And some people are worried that they've done that. Well, after my study, and I don't say that I've got a real good answer for the unpardonable sin, I came to the opinion in myself that it could only happen when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth.
That's right.
That's the way I believe.
That's right.
I don't believe you can commit the unpardonable sin the same as he were warned about when Jesus was walking, because here Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, and by the way, do you have to have the Holy Spirit to get saved? Yes, you do.
That's right.
You offend the Holy Spirit where he does not come back to you, you're lost forever.
That's right.
And when Jesus is walking the earth and they called the works that he was doing works of the devil, he gave him a warning. Now, I don't believe that you today can commit that sin. So when I go to somebody who thinks they are beyond God's salvation, I try to disabuse them of that idea. You're not beyond what God can save.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
But there is a verse. It's in John 8, 24. 23 and 24 we'll read. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The religious leaders of his day, the Jews that he came to, didn't believe him. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the Savior. They didn't believe he was the King of the Jews. And they certainly did not want to give up their power to him. They resisted him over and over and over again. And he told them, right here, if you don't believe I am he, I am the Messiah, I am the Savior, I am the one sent by God that you've been looking for, you're going to die in your sins. Let me tell you what the unpardonable sin is today. This is my opinion. Unbelief. Unbelief. I don't think anything you've ever done counts so big, so vast, so strong that God can't forgive it, can't wash it, can't cleanse it, can't save you, but unbelief.
That's right.
There were three men hanging on crosses. One of them was Jesus. The other were two thieves, two rebellious people. One of them said, we're dying because of our own fault. They admitted it. This man's done nothing amiss. And one of them turned to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't get baptized. He didn't get the tithing. He didn't get the giving. He didn't get the preaching. He didn't go to be a missionary. Right. He never did a good thing for anybody else in all the days of his life, but I'm going to meet him in glory.
That's right. Amen.
In glory.
That's right.
I'm going to see that man that was saved totally by grace. And some people will say, oh, that's an exception. In the very center of the greatest moment in history, when Christ is dying for all mankind, he saves this man by grace. You tell me that's an exception? That's the example, dummy.
Yes,
right here where everybody sees it, he saves a man without baptism. He saves him without good works. He saves him without the law. He saves him by grace. That's the example. I've been visiting 53 years. I go in sometimes to people in a hospital bed or lying on their deathbed, and a family will want me to talk to them or pray over them. And I've had various thoughts about that. You know, can they hear me? Am I doing any good? Well, when my oldest son was 16, he had a bad case of spinal meningitis. He got home from school. We were eating around the supper table. And he mentioned he had a big, bad headache. And he reached for his tea and just knocked it all over the table. We got him up. And he wasn't walking well. Billy and I got him out to the car. I drove him to the Methodist hospital. My wife called. Had him ready for us, prepared. Put him in the Methodist hospital. Had doctors all around him. I would talk to him, and all I got was a gobbledygook coming out of his mouth. By the time we got to the hospital, he could not talk. Scared me pretty bad. Ask the doctors, what can you do for him? Nothing. They gave me no hope whatsoever. If he dies, he dies. If he lives, he lives. We can't do a thing. What he has is a viral type, a spinal meningitis. No matter what we give him, it has nothing to do it. Well, of course, we prayed. We called on the mercy of God. And he came home. And he was talking. But you know what he told me? And it changed the way I visit. He told me, he said, Dad, I understood everything you said. I knew what was going on around me. And I was trying to tell you. I was telling you. He was talking to me. But I couldn't understand him. I got to the place, I got to thinking about that. Some of these people look like they're in a coma. Look like they're almost dead. You know what I do? I walk up to them and say, if you can hear me, God can hear you. If you can hear me, God can hear you.
Amen.
And you don't have to mouth the words, but you can in your heart repent and call on God at the last minute, and God will have mercy upon your soul.
Amen.
I do believe that. I had another experience. A man I knew was in a bar, and he made some sort of threatening something to the bartender. And the bartender pulled out a military 45, 1911 model, and blew him right off the stool. And then put four more in his body mass on the floor. Five 45s. Point blank range. His wife called me to go to the hospital, and I guess it was a lot freer in those days because I was right in there with him. They let me in as a preacher to pray for him. And here he is. I never saw anybody look any deader than he looked. I never saw anybody that I thought deserved to die any more than he did. 5.45, you're supposed to be hit by one in the shock kill you.
That's right.
And he took five in the body mass. And he's there just not moving. His eyes are not opening. He's barely breathing. And I thought, boy, he's dead. But I prayed. Well, he lived. Years later, I was visiting with him. And this is what he told me. He said, I was dead. And then I woke up, and there were you praying over me. I didn't know that 5 or 10 years after the event. But it changed the way I look at talking to somebody that looks like they're dead.
Yes.
You don't know what they can hear.
That's right.
The doctors and nurses don't know what they can hear. They're doing their best. I'm not knocking doctors and nurses. They're my social calendar now. My whole month is decided by my trips to the doctors and to the labs. And praise God, I'm still up here preaching. I hope I do a little more.
Praise the Lord.
Give me some more of them pills. Come on. Give me some more shots. Eight a day. As long as I get to preach a little longer. When I go there, I don't know but what a soul inside that old body can call out to God and get saved, because that's the most important thing there is.
Amen.
Nothing to compare to it for you, that you would be saved, that you would be forgiven, that you would be indwelt by the Spirit of God, that God Himself would live inside of you.
Amen.
Wow. What a blessing. Do you know what I believe is the unpardonable sin? He says in 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin.
That's right.
I don't care what you've done. I can go into any prison or any hospital, any jail, and boy, there's some scumbags in there. There's some people I wouldn't want living on my block. I have witnesses and people that I didn't even like shaking their hand. Didn't want to touch their clothes. But I tell you what God can do if you will believe this message of the gospel, repent of your sins and call on Him for salvation, He'll save your soul today, just that quick. Unpardonable sin in our day, for sure, is unbelief. Unbelief. Look at chapter 16 of Luke. About the last half of verse 22. I thought about the unspeakable gift and then the unpardonable sin, and this is an unending tragedy. A tragedy without end. A sorrow without end. A pain without end. What we call hell. Now, by the way, this is Jesus. It's his story. And some of you people that don't like preaching on hell and some other things like that, let me tell you what, Jesus taught us more about hell than any other person in the Bible. I know you think of John the Baptist as a hellfire and brimstone preacher and Jesus as soft. No, Jesus was not soft. When he walked into the temple and he wanted to cleanse it, he picked up a whip, a card. He made him a whip out of cards and he drove them, the money changers and others, out of the temple grounds, the zeal of the Lord. He wasn't Casper Milk Toast. When he raised his arm, it was an arm of a carpenter. It had muscles in it. He was a man. He wasn't this little effeminate thing hanging on a cross I see a lot of the time. He was a man. It says the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, send Lazarus. And he dipped the tip of his finger in water and cooled my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now Lazarus... but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto me, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. To my mind, this was my fear growing up. I was taught the gospel. I was taught the Bible. I had my own Bible, Bibles in my house. My sister could play the piano or whatever beautifully. And we sang hymns and we sang Boogie Woogie. One of the songs we played, and was real hot, said Mr. 5x5, 5 foot tall and he's 5 foot wide. He don't measure no more from his head to his toe than he do from side to side. Isn't that a great spiritual song? I had a next-door neighbor that every time we played Boogie Woogie, she called the police on us. But we could play hymns till 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. And she would not call the police. But the minute we switched from hymns to Boogie Woogie or something else that we were playing, the thing I was most scared of in my life is hell. I believed in hell. I'll tell you something else. Some of you goody two-shoes, I knew I was going to hell. You may think you're too good to go there. You may think you've never done something so bad as some other. You despise other people that because of their life and their sin, and you ought to. But you deserve it just as much as they do. And you get saved the same way they do. Everybody in this room has to walk the same path, has to believe the same thing, has to go to the same Lord, and it's the same name.
Amen.
Name above every name, Jesus.
Amen.
That you got to call on. This is an unending tragedy.
Yes.
Unending? Man, I cracked my ribs because I fell off a ladder sawing some trees. Took 2 months for me to breathe easy. 2 months. And man, I hurt. And I thought, boy, is there an end to this? And there for the first month, I didn't think there was. And in the second month, it still didn't feel like it was. Then finally, one day, I got up and breathed without hurting. It ended. Hell will never end. Jesus taught us more about hell than anybody else. And he taught us it was a torment forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night. Hell was built for the angels. You want to go with these wicked angels? That's where they're going. A real deep pit in there. An unending tragedy. A tragedy that doesn't end. Think about that. I thought about it. I didn't want to go to hell. I went and heard a preacher. And I got convicted. I went home. And I thought about a lot of things. And I thought about the gospel. And I called on Jesus. I confessed every sin individually I could think of. Took me a couple hours. But I did to confess everything I could possibly confess. And then I confessed I was sure worthless and sure didn't deserve anything. And that night, he changed my future. I don't have any fear of hell anymore. I really don't want to get in any pain, and I really don't want you to shoot me, and I'd probably shoot you back if I got a chance. But I'm not afraid of dying. I'm going to lay this body down. In fact, it's getting worn out. I'm going to lay this body down and wake up with Jesus and one of these days come back to this earth with a 33-year-old body. Wow. Man in his perfect prime. That's what I think. An unending tragedy. Well, there's an unanswered question. Look at Mark 8:36. There's a question you may need to answer for yourself today, my friend. Maybe you just dropped in on a lark. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you're seeking. I don't know. But Jesus asked a question. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you take? How would you bargain with the devil today and say, give me all the sex in the world? Well, take a look at Solomon. He had 1,000 wives. He didn't know their first names. He wasn't that familiar with all of them, I want you to know. 1,000 wives? And Solomon says it's all vanity. Come down to the end of it and all the wisdom I've got, it's all vanity. You get so much money, what can you do with it? You can't sleep but in one bed at a time. You can't drive but one car at a time. You can't eat but one steak. Well, now some of us could eat more than one steak at a time. Just depending on us and our capacity. Here's a question for you. I answered this question 53 years ago. I put that question to me. I answered that question. I don't want to go to hell. I don't care if you're a member of a church. I don't care if you've been baptized 3 times, 3 ways. I don't care if you're the most religious person in the room. I don't care if you can read your Bible forward to backward.
That's right.
What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you had everything, if you were king of the world, Satan's temptation to Christ, if you were king of the world and died and went to hell, do you think it's a good bargain?
No.
Some of you out there thinking that, boy, this drinking up and this fornication and all this looseness in the generation we live in, what a great time to be alive. No, you're in a dangerous time, friend. Bad as we were, you're in a worse time.
Yes.
What shall it profit you if you get what you want today, but you have to turn down God to do it? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world. Bill Gates doesn't have the whole world. Warren Buffett doesn't have the whole world. They got so much more of it than you and I that we just can't imagine. And we're hubbing it month to month to pay the bills, to pay for the kids. And about the time I'd get myself out of debt, one of my kids would fall off a fence and break an arm. Then I'd have some more debt. All my tires would go out. I don't have any money for tires, but I got to go get tires. Because I got to keep going. Oh, yeah. Compared to Buffett or Gates or some of these other real rich people, have you noticed how miserable rich people are? Most of them are not very happy. These little starlet girls walking around, they got millions of dollars and they can do anything they want to do. They are absolutely miserable.
Yes.
Big stars, big baseball players end up on dope.
Yes.
Selling dope, go to jail. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? What would you take to lose your soul? What would it be you would bargain with?
That's right.
Sex? All the sex you want, all that you can enjoy? Would that be enough for you to go to hell forever? How about pride? I don't want to admit I'm a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Don't talk to me that way. You know, I've had a whole lot of people tell me not to talk to them like they're a sinner, because they're not. But they are.
That's right.
He included all. You're all in that category. Some of you are better than others. There's no doubt about that. But I want you to know something. Every single one of us is a sinner in need of a Savior. If you haven't taken Christ as your Savior already, why don't you answer this question today? Why don't you just answer it in your own heart this morning? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And why don't you trust Christ? I can preach. I can plead. I got a lot of experience. But I can't touch your heart. If the Holy Spirit of God is moving in this room today and it touches your heart and you know He's talking to you. By the way, I don't do that. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. That's His work. My work is to preach the Word or explain the Word as best I can. The Holy Spirit's work is to apply it to the heart. And if somebody is touching your heart right now, it's God. Why don't you call on Him? Remember that thief on the cross? He didn't have anything to recommend himself. But he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said that was enough. He said to him, "Today, today, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Wow. Do you know what? You can be saved. You're not a big enough sinner that God cannot forgive everything you do. No matter how vile it is, you have not committed a sin that God cannot forgive. If you will believe the gospel, repent of your sins, take Christ as your Savior today, He'll save your soul.
Amen.
Now I realize I really haven't preached to Christians much this morning. But if God has spoken to your heart, Christian, and you need to get something right with God, do it. Life's just too short to be walking around with a burden on your heart.
Amen.
We're going to sing number 249. Just as you are, if you'll come. Come down here and do business with God. Call upon Him. Seek His face. He'll save your soul and change your life.